All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, this is a very always a timely and a very it's a good topic, but it's definitely a warning sign. It was a warning sign for us and probably too late in some ways, but it's something we are always looking out for. It's a problem we're always looking out for. We always have eyes on this because it happens all the time.
Yes, it sure does. Well, and just to back up before we get into it, if you have not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices, our huddle theme is Toolbox Tuesday, where we pick one tool out of our resource library to go over with all of our team members to make sure that we are on the same page because we have so many resources available. You can honestly lose track of all of the things that we have available. We have an entire emotional intelligence module in part of our training resources that we've built out. And this is one of the topics that is in that emotional intelligence module. We're going to talk about gaslighting today.
I had no idea what this term meant. Kind of like I think it was last week we did end runs, but very similar. I don't think I was guilty of this one, but I definitely the when it was explained to me, it was crystal clear who and when they were doing this. And I think when you can't unhear this, you can't unsee it. It's one of those things. Yeah.
And the challenge with gaslighter, just to kind of gaslighting tendencies, is a lot of times it's not someone that goes from 0 to 60 in 1 second in time. It's they have some of these tendencies, some of these things start to come out. This happens with doctors. This also happens with some of the leadership team members sometimes. And it's a lot of times it's coming from a place of lack of confidence. They tend to be personality types where they're very driven. And, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Because just like with all things, the positives and negatives about any personality or any personality type can sometimes out the negatives out are not outweighed by the positives. They can be in reverse too. But a doctor, for example, is obviously you all know you have to be extremely driven to make it through dental school. And if you're owning your own practices, there's a lot of toughness that you have to have just in life in general to survive out there. And that can make you have this rugged individualist perspective on the world that it's me against everyone else, right? And I'm going to destroy everyone else in my path so that I personally can survive. And it's that way we've seen with office managers. We not to just constantly be dumping on the office manager, but we've seen the office manager who's been in the role for 40 years. He or she is afraid of quote unquote being found out if they're not
Yeah.
very confident in the skills that they have. So they're going to make sure that there's a huge death cloud around anyone else who's possibly coming in their circle so that you don't get close enough to find out the truth of what actually might be happening.
And it's, I think you hit the nail on the head, and it comes, unfortunately, a lot of times from lack of confidence. And it's that protective mechanism that people kind of develop a little bit that is not defensive, but it becomes offensive.
So some of the traits of a gaslighter, and as you're looking at these and listening to these, you also might be picking up traits of gaslighters you have in your personal lives. This is definitely not just specific to business, but they're master manipulators. They tend to shift the blame to others. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the excuses versus explanations and the differences there. These are people who have a lot of excuses a lot of the times for whatever you're trying to bring up as a topic. This goes with lack of accountability. Right. It's never their fault. It's always everybody else's fault. It's always the world against me. When you bring up some of these topics, the direction of the conversation is often changed with these people. All of a sudden, you're talking about something that is completely unrelated, and you might even be thinking back afterwards, but how did we get off on that? That wasn't even what we were discussing in the moment. Dishonesty, and the dishonesty one I want to just focus on for just a moment here because it isn't necessarily just dishonesty as far as a black and white lie, but it can definitely be someone's own version, in air quotes, of the truth. And Sten and I have had this happen more times than we can count with doctors or with team members where we really have to distill down what is actually happening here. And Sten will often, one of the best tactics I think that he has is he'll have them say it back to him about what it is that they're actually talking about, or okay, So you are saying XYZ. Like, am I hearing you correctly saying XYZ to almost make them say it out loud to make sure that there's no miscommunication of what's happening?
Yeah, I think when people try to, I don't think people are trying to lie in certain situations like that. I really don't. But what they're trying to do is, like Jennifer said, twist the explanation of it a little bit to not make it either sound that bad or make it sound like it's in their favor or something like that when it really wasn't. And we, Jennifer and I kind of talk about it. We talk about with our leadership team is, make them say their crazy comment back to you. Because when you make them repeat it or you make them clarify it in perfectly clear words, it sounds crazy even coming from that person, right? And the people kind of say, well, oh, that sounds ridiculous, right? Yeah. They might not say it, but they realize it right away. And what happens with a lot of this, quote unquote dishonesty or this kind of tweaking of the truth or whatever it is. And it's like I said, it's not necessarily they're trying to lie or trying to do a bad job, but they're trying to make you interpret a situation the way they want you to interpret it without actually saying it. Because if they say it, that means they're lying. But if they just make you interpret it that way, they're
You're the
not.
problem.
So if you make them say it back to them, all of a sudden it becomes real. It's like, oh, am I really going to say this right now? And that's when, I think some of these situations can be diffused a little bit.
Well, and sometimes it results in number six, which is lashing out when confronted with the situation, right? If someone gets called out on something or you're really making them own they're crazy, they can lash out. And this can go in both directions, right? This is not just a doctor running around yelling, screaming, having an outburst like that may be the situation that's happening. Fortunately, we haven't had that situation happen in our practices, but it could be that. But it also could be someone who's just overly emotional about a situation, right? We've had this with doctors where they really had an issue with a clinical case and they were running behind or what, whatever the situation might be. And all of a sudden, everything is wrong. And that one thing that was missing from an op became the end of the world situation, when in reality is that you couldn't find MB2 and you were struggling with that endo case for 3 hours, right? But the reaction doesn't match what the actual situation is. I've also had this happen. We had an assistant specifically, and I talked to our doctors about this, where it wasn't an outburst of anger, it was an outburst of emotion with her. Every single time you went to her to give constructive feedback in a very kind way, we've talked about the difference between being nice versus kind, bringing her aside separately, not having public humiliation going on, she burst out into tears. And the doctors got to the point where they said, I'm not approaching her because I know what's going to happen with that. And I was having the same issue with some workshops where it was every other workshop I had, somebody's crying about something all the time, so that we're then not talking about the issue at hand. And I would tell Stan this, like, good Lord, like, we're just having another crying fest. He said, why are you continuing those workshops that way? Why are you continuing that conversation? And I don't know why I'm continuing that conversation, because it's not productive. It became, I need you to take a breath and get control of your emotions, and then we'll continue the conversation, because the emotions became another form of manipulation.
They did. Well, it was a reason, it was a way for them, it was a tactic for them to not have to address the issue they knew they were going to have to address if they stopped crying. And so it wasn't like the situation they were crying about was even that big a deal. I
No.
mean, we're talking, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like a practice like it's just falling apart with everyone just blowing their nose and crying all the day. That's not the way it is. But these situations, it was a tactic for some of these people. And granted, these were some younger employees, and that doesn't always mean that that comes with the immaturity. We've definitely seen some immaturity with
It's not
the
age related.
older crowd as
It's
well. So I don't
yeah.
want to sound like only the younger, newer hires are emotional, but it is a little bit of an immature gaslighting tactic to not have to address the issue at hand, or not, or kind of make someone, hopefully they're hoping maybe someone will let me off the hook. Or someone will just, not make me do something, or whatever it is. But it's just a tactic. It's just a tactic.
Well, and it also can be coming, ironically enough, from a good place. And that's where some of the gaslighters in your practices, in your life, it can be very difficult to try to correct that behavior, because you know that they care about what they're doing, right? And they do have good intentions, and they care about their jobs, and they care about doing a good job. Yes, it can be to the detriment of the others around them, but at their core, they want to help patients, right? They want to help your patients. They want to do well for your practices. And sometimes that manipulation is them trying to show you that, right? Like if all of a sudden I'm so upset about this issue and I'm crying over it, and like the fact that I dropped one thing on the floor, like I'm going to show you that I'm going to cry over it for the next half an hour because I care that much about it. And Sid and Jennifer are going to recognize that. That also is where that comes from sometimes. And doctors can do the same thing. You know, I want to hit my goals and I'm serious about my goals. So everything else that's happening in the world that is not my fault, you see how committed I am to this goal and reaching this goal. All of these other things are out of my control. I can't get there. This is why. This is my excuse as to why.
And it's very rare that someone who does this gaslighting ever looks in the mirror. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid. If I can make everything else out of my control or not my fault or other people's fault, I'm not going to have to look in the mirror and really evaluate what I need to change in order to accomplish whatever it is or to fix a situation.
Well, and that goes into number seven, which is turning the problem back on you, where then you start to question your own position on something or your own sanity about something. Is something really wrong, right? I mean, we've had this come up with team that they're doing XYZ whatnot. And, you know, I'm automatically going into panic mode about it because I'm hearing from a doctor the team isn't doing this or that. And, you know, then I'm distracted by that instead of, no, we were actually talking about your exams right now, right? We were talking about the fact that your exams, you're spending 20 minutes talking with your patients about surfing and 2 minutes talking to them about what their treatment needs actually are. Are you looking for a surf buddy? Or are you looking for, you know, someone that is actually going to come in and do treatment in your practices, you know? And then all of a sudden you've had this conversation, you're looking back on it going, how did I get here? Right? Like, because now I've just gone in a whole different direction and I just lost the entire point. And from a leadership standpoint, you can't show the chink in the armor, right? You've got to make sure that you are confident. Yes, there's things that happen and there's things that we have to correct, but you have to make sure that you're confident in what you're showing them. If you're showing the sign of weakness or that you have doubt about the team or the systems, it's over, right? It's over. You just lost it. It just went, you know. And it's also not every situation we talk about that you're on the stand, right? You don't have to defend yourself like you're on trial if we're talking about something. Hey, this is the perception of what happened. This is the feedback we had from the team. That can be really tough from a doctor's standpoint, right? This assistant said, like, hey, this exam, this patient had this feedback. They didn't follow what you were recommending for them. They didn't think it went very well. And it turns into the doctor saying, well, I said this and I said that and I tried this and the patient couldn't afford it, right? That's always the patient couldn't afford it. The patient didn't want treatment, right? We were talking about how you might be able to help your scripting for the next time around. Maybe that patient couldn't afford it. You're right. But hey, your assistant is trying to give feedback that this didn't go as well as it could have. This is the perception. What can you do with that information?
There's always something we can do to improve. Always.
And this again gets back to culture and how damaging this can be to your culture. And if you have doctors or you have an office manager or team members, we see this sometimes with assistants, same thing as an office manager. You have an assistant who's been with a doctor since he or she started practicing and thinks that they are untouchable. It becomes very difficult for your other team members to, number one, want to work with those people, but number two, want to ever speak up if they see something that can be improved. And if you're growth minded and you're trying to grow, or you have associate doctors, you need more than just the two people who have been with you since you started practicing to support you, to help your other doctors that are coming in. And you have to have a culture that fosters that kind of interaction and that communication. Otherwise, you're just going to have a constant revolving door. And we've been there too. You know, we've seen this through acquisitions where we've had team members come in, and that was the way that the selling doctor had operated it. And it's very difficult sometimes to try to integrate that in if you're trying to have a different culture than that. So, overarching, the goals and kind of the takeaways from this are, hey, what are some of these traits and some of these conversations that you've had, whether it be with your doctors, with your team members? Do you have someone that's a gaslighter? Because you probably do. You probably have at least one in your practices. And how can you help guide some of those conversations a little bit better to make sure that you aren't going down that rabbit hole with them? If you recognize it, that can be half the battle because then you can make sure that you're maintaining control of those conversations and know how to best approach them, right? If you can approach someone who has those tendencies without having them become defensive, you're going to have much more productive conversations, right? You're not necessarily going to be able to change someone's personality, but you have to figure out how to make that work within the culture that you're trying to build and make sure that they are not out manipulating you. Know who it is that you're dealing with.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of strength. It takes a little bit of pause and poise to deal with this in a professional way, because these situations can get very emotional too. And to not allow yourself to kind of go down that path with that person, because that's exactly kind of what they want a little bit in that situation. And again, these people are not out, they're not the devil, but these are tactics to they've learned over the years that eventually get them what they want. And they do it from a, just an emotional, pulling on the heartstrings essentially, or deflecting blame and different things like that. And that's not to say that a gaslighter is a gaslighter. This is very situational. You could have someone that just uses this
Right.
tactic here and now and is actually a very good employee, but they have this one way that they use, certain situations to try to affect change or to try to affect a different outcome. And and we need to recognize that. And there are some people, they're just facts of the matter are there are some people that use this day in, day out. Yeah. And again, that's not to say that they are bad employees either. A lot of times, like Jennifer said, these come with some very driven, high-performing people, but it's a lot harder to reverse or change a ingrained mindset or a ingrained way that people have operated a long time in order to get something done. And so I think that's where this really becomes a challenge. And with everyone it's a little bit different, but getting them to see this on their own is really, really important. The damage is happening, because if it's just one person coming and telling that person you're doing this, that's going to make it worse,
That's
right?
okay.
It's almost like they're going to just gaslight around that. So
Right.
it's that the how to solve this is very, very similar to the way we show patients, their needed treatment. It's just, you show them the facts, and this is a good tactic to let these people realize kind of what they're doing. It's just showing them the facts and kind of what is actually happening.
And going back to some of the core values that you have for your practice as a whole, we've talked about having a victim mentality about something. That's something that we try to call out, not having a scarcity mindset about things, having that abundance mindset that everyone else is not a threat. And that's something that you constantly, and we are constantly working on from a culture standpoint in our practices, whether it's with our team or with our doctors, showing them a path to growth and their important role. Because again, everyone has a role. We're not here just because it all relies on one person. We're all on a team rowing in the same direction.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, to be continued, we will be back next week with another Toolbox Tuesday topic. If you would like to connect with us about our private client options, you can email us at connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is also available, pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or we are on all of the social media platforms. So please feel free to reach out and we would be happy to help you.
Take care, you guys. Bye.
Bye.